Well, dear students, are you ready to magnify your gains with buying on margin and magnify your losses? Well, we got something even better for you today, and that's learning about shorting stocks, selling short. Now, we've been dancing around this idea for quite some time. It's time to delve into it head first. Long stock purchases, slide 25. Buying long, going long. This is a transaction in which investors buy securities in the hope they will increase in value and then can be sold at a later date for profits. This is the type of transaction that people commonly think of when they hear that somebody bought stock. It's certainly the most common form of transaction. The expectation of dividends or capital appreciation or both is why we buy long, go long. Buy low, sell high. Doesn't that make sense? Yeah. But dear students, that's not all you're limited to. I'm sorry, but let's do the example first. I'm sorry. You slide 26. You purchase one share of common stock for $20. And the market price rises to $30. Yippee! You made $10 on a $20 investment. That's a 50% increase. And of course, if the price dropped to $10, you'd lost $10, or half of your investment, a 50% decrease. So buying long, going long, that's very straightforward. Buy low, sell high. However, dear students, you're going to love this. You don't have to do it in that order. Buy low, sell high. You can sell high and then buy low. Huh? Short selling, selling short, shorting the stock, going short. This is the sale of borrowed securities, their eventual repurchase by the short seller, and the return to the lender. It's the opposite of buying long. You're hoping that the price goes down. You see a company that you think is way overpriced, or you think they're going into bankruptcy, so you can sell their shares now and then buy them back later on. So we're used to thinking buy low, sell high. Well, this is exactly the opposite. Sell high, buy low. And where do you get the shares from? You borrow them. Selling short must take place in a margin account, since you are borrowing the stock you sell from the brokerage firm. Instead of borrowing the money in the bond, when we bought on margin, when we buy on margin, we borrow money. When we sell short, we're borrowing stock. Selling the stock, receiving the gain from the sale, but then we got to turn around and buy it back later on. Right, sell high, buy low. Here's how it works, okay? Slide 28. You borrow the stock from another shareholder without their knowledge. They don't know what's going on. It's all done by the back office. The brokerage firm takes care of it. You sell shares you do not own on the market price, on the marketplace, because you borrowed the shares. You wait for the stock price to go down. You then buy back the shares at a lower price, pocketing the difference. And the shareholder doesn't know you did that. The shareholder you borrowed the shares from never knows that the shares were borrowed. The brokerage firm does all the financial sleight of hand. That's done in what is called the back office. Oh, by the way, you must pay any dividends the company declares to the investor who bought the shares that you sold short, because those shares aren't there anymore. They're gone, right? So if the company had declared a dividend in the meantime, you have to pay it. Doesn't this sound as though it should be illegal? I mean, the first time I heard about this, I said, wait a minute, you're selling something that isn't yours? Well, relax. You have every intention, and you've done a credit check of buying them back, right? Because if you don't, who's stuck? Right, the brokerage firm is stuck. That's why they want to know that you're creditworthy. And so think about it. Think you have two neighbors, one on each side, and Ned and Fred, or whatever their names are. And Ned just bought this beautiful $500 riding lawnmower. And and you know or you believe that tomorrow it's going to go on sale for $250. So you go to Ned, hey, can I borrow this from you? And he says, oh, okay. And you drive it over to Ed's house because you know he wants to buy one. He says, hey, Ed, look at the brand new riding lawnmower, only $500. Hey, it's just what I wanted. So he buys it from you. You now have $500, and you see it go on sale the next day for $250. You run, go buy it, and bring it back to Ned. And he says, hey, thanks. You know, you're a good man. Did you paint it? It's a different color. Anyway, you see, that's that's how it works. That's what's going on here, folks. You're selling something you don't own with the expectation, the promise that you'll buy it back. And you hope the price goes down. You borrow shares from somebody today. You sell the shares in the market. And then someday in the future, you buy the shares from the market and return the shares. If the price goes down, you've made money. But what if the price goes up? You're going to lose money. It's the opposite of what we normally consider when we talk about buying stocks. It's the opposite of going long, buying long. And again, you might think it's illegal, but what do you think they do with your money when you give it to the bank? You think they just sit on it, put it in a mattress? No, they lend it out. They lend out the money that you've given them with the expectation that they'll pay you back, and it's all highly regulated. So I'm sure there's problems every once in a while, but for the most part, it's done every day. So let's see. Selling short example, slide number 30. You sell a stock short for $20. You receive $20 from the sale of the stock, even though the stock was not yours. You borrowed it from somebody else, and the stock goes down to $10. You buy back the stock at $10, closing out the transaction. That's what they say, close out the transaction. You give the stock back to the person you borrowed it from. And you get to keep the $10 difference, right? You sold it for $20, it went down to $10. You get to buy it back at $10, and you get to keep the $10. Congratulations, you made $10 on a $0 investment. Wait, no, that's not allowed. That's not quite. You cannot really make $10 on a $0 investment. It's a margin account, remember? You borrowed the stock that you sold. The rules for a margin account still apply. You must put up at least 50%. And you're thinking, 50% of what? Well, 50% of what you borrowed. 50% of the proceeds from the sale of the borrowed stock, because you borrowed the stock that you sold. So you have to come up with 50% of what you sold. Again, the brokerage firms use the account balance sheet to keep track of the investor's margin. There's some examples, but it's all done. It's all computerized, folks. So the computer report spits out who your clients are, or if you, they tell you how much you have to come up with to sell these shares short. So let's take a look at that example again. You sell a stock short for $20. You receive $20 from the sale of the stock, even though the stock was not yours. You borrowed it from somebody else. But now the price goes to $40. It zooms up. Now you must buy the stock back at $40. Remember, you borrowed it. You must replace it at some future date. You must buy it back. Uh-oh. You just lost $20 on your short transaction. So it's exactly the opposite. It's a mirror image of what we normally think when we buy a stock long. When we sell a stock short, if it goes up, we lose money. And we lose money very quickly. When you buy long, you can only lose the purchase price of the stock. You buy a stock for $20, it goes to zero, you lost $20. That's it. Once it hits zero, it can't go any lower. But when you sell short, there is no limit to the amount of money you can lose. Theoretically. Why? Because there's no limit to the price of a stock. The price can always go higher. And there's a saying, he who sells what isn't his'n must buy it back or go to prison. Well, we don't have debtors' prisons. But the idea is, hey, you're on the hook, dear students or dear investor. You sold these shares short. If this company, overnight becomes an instant success, you're going to be in deep kimchi. That's smelly stuff, right? But I like kimchi, so don't get me wrong. It's just a silly saying. Yes, on the website and in Canvas, there's an article from a gentleman who sold a stock short and overnight lost over $100,000. Overnight. He had a $39,000 account, and then the next day he owes over $100,000 because the company zoomed up, and it happened overnight. And then there's another cute little video of the first person who ever sold a stock short. It happened, 400 years ago. It didn't end well for him either. So, are you going to sell short? I hope not. Here's the calculation that we do on the Series 7. I'm not going to ask you to do it, folks. To calculate the margin. For example, if the stock were sold short at 20, you have to deposit $10. So that means that the margin requirement is 50%. Again, the balance sheet makes the calculation easier. You don't have to do these calculations. Let's take an example of selling short shares of Verizon at $30. You receive $3,000 from the sale, 100 shares times $30. You have to come up with $1,500, 50% of what you sold. So here's the proceeds from the sale and the initial margin deposit. Now, this isn't going to change because that's a transaction that happened in the past. Your short position is $3,000 and your account equity is $1,500. Well, that's because you came up with $1,500. Because remember, you borrowed these shares. It's a loan. So it's basically like a margin loan here. So again, this makes it easy. The account equity in the balance sheet divided by our short position is our margin. But again, you don't have to do these on the Series 7. You had to. Maybe you don't have to do them anymore. But if the stock price falls now to $20, your short position falls to $2,000. Because now 100 shares times 20 is $2,000. So the proceeds are not going to change. The initial deposit's not going to change unless you bring more cash in. But now your equity goes up to $2,500. The short position fell because the shares fell. The account equity rose. You made money because the stock price fell. But what happens if Verizon goes up? What happens if the price rises to $40? Now your short position has risen to $4,000. Your account equity is $500. The price has gone up. You've lost a lot of money. You've lost, out of the $1,500 you came up with, you've lost $1,000 of it. And your brokerage maintenance margin is 25%. You've got a margin call. You either have to bring in more cash or buy back the shares now and take a $1,000 loss. Yuck. Right. So that's the problem with selling short. You lose money very quickly as the price goes up. And here's the formula: the price equals the margin. This is the price at which you'll have a margin call. So for example, if don't have to do the calculations, but if you sold 100 shares short at 20, your proceeds are $2,000. You deposited $1,000, the maintenance margin is 25%. You only have to see the stock price go to 24 before you get a margin call. You lose money very quickly as the stock goes up. And you might have heard in the news over the last 2 years, many investors, well, they're speculators in my humble opinion, were selling Tesla short as Tesla was skyrocketing, and they lost billions of dollars. And then you heard about GameStop, where there were vultures, they sometimes call them, or takeover artists, or private equity hedge funds, whatever they call them, the bad guys are often referred to as. and they were selling GameStop short. Well, the group in Reddit got together and said, we're going to make GameStop go up. And then these short sellers were in deep kimchi and in not a problem and in big problems. And they had to buy back their shares because they were getting margin calls and they were losing money like crazy. Selling short is very risky, folks. The brokerage firm will keep a very close eye on you. Don't do it. Peter Lynch says don't sell short. And who's going to argue with him? And what you're really saying, when you sell short, you're really saying, I hope this company does badly. And that, to me, I just don't like that. I want all companies to do well. I know, obviously, they can't, right? You know, nobody can't all have winners. But I'm a firm believer in positive, in thinking positively towards the future. Except for Microsoft. I just hate them so much for all the years of pain and aggravation that they're still giving us. I tried using a Chromebook, but it doesn't work with Camtasia, and the video processing is limited. So I'm using a Windows machine now as we speak, but I still love my Chromebook. Okay, so don't short. A short squeeze. Now, this is something that is, you know, something we should internalize here. Think about it. When the market is going down, momentum investors, or maybe a single stock is going down, momentum investors, speculators, in my humble opinion, traders, will often short stocks to try to take advantage of the down momentum, which pushes the market down even further. It's like a spring, pushing down on a spring. And what happens? Right. Eventually, the short sales must all be repurchased, unless the company goes bankrupt, and the subsequent up movement of the market or the shares of the individual stock is often dramatic as short sellers cover their positions as they have to buy back the shares. And so when people get freaked out, they say, oh, look, the market dropped 5% last couple of days or last week or whatever. I say, relax, it'll come back. And sure enough, they, 1 or 2 days later, bingo, it skyrockets because all those short sellers have to cover their positions. They have to buy back the shares. And so we can take a look at the short interest. And, you know, I'm thinking, why don't we do that right now? Let's take a look at the short interest for, say, Tesla, which has been heavily shorted. And let's go to Yahoo, Tesla. And we go to the statistics page. And come down, and here it is. There are 959 million shares outstanding, but interesting, only 769 are trading at this time. And now the shares short, the shares short are 46 million. So that's about 6% of the float and 5% of the shares outstanding. Now, that's a whole lot less than there were last year. I think it had made up to 20% because there were many people who were just thinking, oh, Tesla's ridiculous, it's not going to survive. And they did. So when you see above, say, 10 or 11, 12%, that means 6% is still pretty high because you look at a company like, let's look at Procter & Gamble, and you'll see that the shares short are much less. Well, we'll find out, see if I'm right. I'm just guessing here. Procter & Gamble. Let's go down, look at the shares short, the short shares. There are 2.45 billion shares outstanding and only almost 17 million. So one third of Tesla with eight times the number of shares outstanding. So percentage is less than 1%. So investors and traders, speculators are thinking that Procter & Gamble is not going to go down that far. But let's see. How about Shopify? Let's go see what Shopify, because that's another one of those outrageously priced stocks. Come on. Still, even less. Look at that. Well, not that many shares, first of all. 117 shares, implied shares outstanding. This has to do with options and stuff. Not options. I'm sorry. Yeah. Employee stock options. But let's say 110 million shares, 111 million shares, but only 1.8 million shares. So traders, speculators are thinking, you know, Shopify is not going to go down. that's very low. So I'm having a hard time finding any companies that where the short interest is very high. Interesting. So in August of 2002, we had had, you know, over 2 years, it was water torture where the market just kept going down and down and down and down and down. The short interest on the New York Stock Exchange was the highest it had ever been in the history of the United States. And to me, this was a great sign, huh? Because it showed me that the market downturn was close to an end because people were basically saying, oh, yeah, it's going to keep going down, it's going to keep going down. Well, what we know is that it never, you know, beware the permanent trend. So when you hear that the short interest is very, very high in the market as a whole or an individual stock, unless that stock is going to zero, it shows that there's going to be a short squeeze soon enough. In fact, there was a one time I was thinking of actually shorting GM back in 2006 and 7. And I would have done pretty well if I had done that. But because GM then went bankrupt and the shares became worthless, so you didn't have to buy them back. They stopped trading in 2011 at 4 cents a share. So, but I just thought of Mr. Lynch, who always said never short a stock. And I also said, I don't want GM to go under. I want GM to succeed, even though the big jerks are pushing these SUVs, gas-guzzling vehicles. Okay, well, we have, you know, issues. We all have issues. That's one of mine. And so are you going to sell short? I certainly hope not. Peter Lynch says don't sell short. You can lose a lot of money quickly. In fact, let's go. Let's go. I want you to do it on your own, but I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to go to that. It's going to take me a while. My apologies. Chapter. I go all the way down to chapter 2. I'm going to show you that great. Here it is. Help! My short position got crushed, and now I owe E-Trade $106,000. So I want you to read this article, folks. This guy loses I know, Market Watch. This guy loses $106,000 overnight. His name is Joe Campbell. He went to bed with $36,000 in his trading account. And then the next day, he woke up with a debt of $106,000. And then he did a GoFundMe. Help me, help me. And the people are just not very kind to him. It's a true nightmare, true trading nightmare. So don't do it. Don't do it. And then people said, oh, you lost some money. Oh, well, would you contribute the bailout? Some other trader who was stuck in the same position? Methinks not. I'm sure when you purchased all those shares, you were not worried about the money the folks who were losing at the expense of the longs. So pay your dues and move on. So, dear students, don't do it. Don't short stocks. Okay, enough said. Instruction about syphilis? Yes, it's not instruction to get syphilis. Actually, folks, there used to be a valid reason for shorting a stock, but no more. It disappeared in 1997. It was called, believe it or not, shorting against the box. Shorting stock that you already owned. Why would you do that? Well, it allowed you to essentially sell your shares without creating a taxable transaction until you closed out the transaction with your own stock. So let's say it's the end of the year and you want to sell these shares. You short them, which means you sell shares that you already own, and then in December, and then in January, you deliver the shares and you postpone the taxes for another year. IRS says no. No, you can't do that. If you short a stock that you own, you've sold it. That's what they say. That's the IRS. So my advice, again, never short a stock. What have we learned in this chapter? We've learned about brokerage accounts. We've learned that buying on margin can be useful for some people, but it magnifies our gains and magnifies our losses. And we've learned that we can make money by selling high, buying low if the stock goes down, or we can lose a ton of money if the stock goes up. And one last time, I'm going to exhort you, cajole you, motivate you to enter the industry. The industry needs you. You are awesome. We need more women, more minorities, more bilingual, more ex-military. because us old white guys are all kicking off or retiring. And we just know that if you're a brokerage firm in the South Bay and you don't have somebody who can speak Spanish, you've got a problem. If you're an insurance company out in El Cajon and you don't have somebody who speaks Arabic, you're losing business. And it's just the world. And some people are afraid of this. Some people are angry about it. And some of them voted for Agent Orange, who's thankfully gone now. But the rest of us are going to say, no, this is the world. We are all one family. We are all the same genome. Species, the same species, Homo sapien homos. I don't know how they got the homo twice there, but they did. And so how about it? Enough of that. Buying and selling securities. Next, we have some miscellaneous topics in investments, account types, real estate, precious metal, hard assets, investing in a business, cryptocurrencies, and we'll wrap them up. You know, they're relatively straightforward and not for the vast majority of us. Okay? See you in our next set of presentations where we do some miscellaneous topics in investments. Thank you so much, folks. Oh my goodness, how far we've come. And we only got a couple weeks left, so don't give up now. Oh no.